Every week on the show, we interview leaders and entrepreneurs to talk about what it means to make an impact in this world. So why am I doing an episode on Santa Claus? Well, let me share with you a journey that I have been on for the past couple of weeks.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to The Weekly Parody.
Hey, welcome to this holiday edition of The Weekly Parody. My name is Heather. I am your host. And today we're going to share with you some really funny stories, but I want you to hang on until the end. There is a conclusion to this episode that is unlike anything I've heard of, and honestly not what I was expecting when I set out to do this. And it might even make you second guess if this Santa guy is actually real or not. But let me start from the beginning. So a friend of mine posted a status about what happened when he told his little girl that Santa wasn't real. This, of course, caught my attention because I, too, have a little girl who loves Santa. The thought has come up time and time again in my own mind, and my husband and I have had many conversations about what we should or should not tell our kiddos about the big guy. So after reading my friend's posts, I decided to ask other people about the time that they found out Santa wasn't real.
So in like first or second grade, my mom and I were watching TV in her room. And when she left the room, I started flipping through channels and I found a documentary on St. Nicholas. And it started talking about his life, because at this time I didn't realize that this documentary was just about like St. Nicholas's religious life. I just made the connection that another name for Santa was St. Nick. So I was watching the documentary, started talking about his life and how he died and how people found his bones and started doing research on them. So that's when I came running down the stairs screaming that Santa was dead, and my parents had no idea what to say. They had no explanation. So that's just when I started thinking that he just wasn't alive and that he wasn't real.
Hi, I'm Patty Lane, the host of the podcast, Do You Know Who I Am? I first learned the truth about Santa Claus in Sunday school. I was around 10 years old. It was right before Christmas. I was in my Sunday school class with about 8 other kids my age. We all sat around the table with the teacher talking about the holiday. And then she turned to us and asked, when did we first learn Santa Claus wasn't real? Everyone took turns telling their own story, and to be honest, I probably made something up because up until that moment, I thought Santa was real. Well, my dad was not happy that my Sunday school teacher assumed everyone in her class knew about Santa, and he marched across the churchyard and confronted the poor woman. The reason my parents didn't tell me the truth about Santa until I was 10 was because I had two younger siblings, and my parents wanted them to believe a little bit longer. Well, the next week, my Sunday school teacher took me aside and she apologized. I felt bad for her and mortified that she even brought it up.
Hi, Heather. It's Nicola Semple from the Good Life, Well Live podcast. So about a week ago, my 6-year-old son started asking lots of questions about Santa Claus. And the same theme kept coming up. And he was saying, you know, Mum, does Santa Claus deliver presents before Christmas Day? And I was busy, I was doing other things, and I kept saying to him, no, they all come at the same time on Christmas Day or the night before Christmas. And then I noticed that my 9-year-old daughter was really quiet and it looked like she'd been crying. So I eventually managed to get the truth out of her. And it transpired that they had found all of the Christmas presents. And not only that, they had found the special presents that Santa Claus was supposed to be bringing. So I had to quickly think of my feet, and the first thing that came to me was to say, oh, well, actually, Santa Claus is like the Amazon delivery man, and he is so busy throughout the month of December that he drops them off throughout the month, and then the mums and dads give them out. And because we're going to be at Gran and Grandpa's for Christmas, he dropped yours off early so that we could make sure that it got to the right place. And they were both looking at me as though I was absolutely crazy. The next day, I was kind of testing the waters and seeing how they felt about Santa. And I don't know whether they had just decided this themselves or they'd agreed between themselves, but they were just ignoring the fact that any of that had ever happened and were excited and looking forward to Santa Claus coming. So who knows how Christmas will turn out? Who knows whether the Santa Claus magic will still exist? Wish me luck.
My favorite Christmas story is the one that my mom always tells of my brother, that one day they were driving and they were getting off the highway. My brother might have been about five at this time. They were behind a car. It was hunting season, and apparently, I guess a gentleman had a buck on the top of his car or trailer or something. And I guess my brother saw it and looked over to my mom and goes, "Oh, Santa's gonna be mad." I usually get a chuckle. So
over the past couple of weeks, I have been hearing tons of stories. Adults recalling when they found out that Santa wasn't real, or sharing stories of when they broke the news to their kids. A lot of them are really funny. But what happens when the child is heartbroken? This leads me back to the very beginning where this episode even came from, that moment I read my friend's status about when he broke the news to his daughter.
The day that my daughter found out that Santa did not exist was because her friends, her friends told her straightforward, just Santa, you know, they asked her if she believed in Santa, and she said yes. And her friends is like, you know that Santa does not exist. So she got a little confused because they were teasing her. So she got home, went out to ask her mom, and her mom just, no filters at all. She asked her mom if Santa exists, and her mom said no. So she called me right away. You know, she asked me if we can talk, and I said, yeah, just give me 10 minutes, and as soon as I get home, I'll call you. But I kind of noticed that her voice or her tone of voice, it was a little different, so I didn't worry about it. But I asked her if everything was okay, and she said, yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll get home, and I'll call you. So I got home, and, right away, FaceTime her, and we began to talk. So I could see her face. It wasn't happy. It was kind of just, it was just different. So I asked her how was her day at school. She told me. I asked her how's everything. She told me it's fine. And she made it look like everything was fine until I asked her, like, so what is the reason that you call me? So she started by telling me that, you know, she just found out that Santa did not exist. And Santa wasn't real. So when I looked at her face got sad, you know, very sad. So I asked her, how did she find out? She told me, you know, my friends and my mom told me that did not exist. I asked her, how does she feel? And she said, without skipping a beat, you know, in her own words, no skipping a beat, I feel sad and angry, and I could see her face. She just wasn't having it. So I asked her, why do you feel sad? She said, because I really believe in Santa, and it makes me sad that I was lied about. You know, nobody told me the truth. I told her that, you know, it was okay to have those feelings. Feeling sad is part of our emotions, and we need to embrace them. I explained to her, you know, I proceed to explain to her what was the meaning of Santa, you know, that Santa was the spirit of Christmas. And I asked her if she knew what Christmas means. And she said, yes. So I asked her, like, what does it mean? You know, she said, it means love, it means give, grateful, peace, and gifts. So she kind of got a little spark in there, you know, she got kind of smiling over there when she said gifts. So I'm like, okay, well, so I asked her, so why do you feel angry? And she really didn't know how to articulate the word angry. And so I asked her, do you know what the word angry means? And she told me, no, not really. So I began to explain to her what the word meant. And I continued to ask her many other questions. And we came to the conclusion that she felt disappointed more than anything. She felt sad, but she felt disappointed. She didn't feel angry. She just felt disappointed because she really believed in Santa. After the conversation, once again, I ask her, how do you feel now? You know, we talk about this, and how do you feel? Without skipping a beat again, you know, she's like, I feel fine now. I don't understand now, but I still believe that Santa exists and Santa is my friend. So I say, yeah, it's great that you feel that way. My relationship with my daughter, it's growing every day. And I think one of the main reasons is because I do ask her every day how she feels about things. As you guys may notice, you know, when she was told that Santa did not exist, nobody explained to her. She was told, like, it does not exist. No explanation whatsoever. That's something that I'm trying to work on, at least with my daughter, trying to explain to her things when she doesn't understand. Asking her how she feels, not just on this particular case, but every day, you know, how do you feel when something happens? How do you feel? How does that make you feel? And to me, has bring me a little more closer with my daughter, you know. At the same time, I let her know every day, this is something I want to share. Every day, you know, my daughter lives in Boston, so I live in San Francisco, California, so we're far away from each other. I'm on the West Coast, she's on the East Coast. So I let her know every day, you know, every day we talk and we FaceTime, but I let her know that how grateful I am that she's my daughter and how grateful I am that, you know, she's part of my life. How happy her smile makes me inside, and how seeing her happy, it warms my heart. You know, at times I don't have all the answers, but I will always do my best to listen to her, you know, even when she doesn't feel fine. I just hope that this story, you know, helps somebody up there. You know, listening to our kids is one of the most amazing things, and asking them how they feel.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I did not know how to end this episode. I knew I wanted to share some fun stories about Santa Claus, talk about the issue, whether he is real or not for Christmas, but I was kind of left wondering, I'm like, what do we do as parents? How do we talk to our kids about this? Because this is my struggle. I don't want to lie to my girls, but as an adult, I miss that wonder. I miss that excitement. I miss that creativity, that magic. And it's so hard as a grown-up to unlearn some of the things that we were taught and try to dream again, think outside of the box, and believe that there is more outside of us than we could ever even imagine. So what do you do? I was talking in a Facebook group about this, and someone tagged a video. I clicked over to YouTube and found The Secret Society of St. Nicholas, a story for kids heartbroken about Santa Claus. This story was written by Catherine North, and her intention was to help kids understand that while Santa Claus might not be real in the way they once thought, there is still real magic in the world, and we can help make that magic happen. Excited to have Catherine North with us. I ran across this incredible YouTube video that moved me to tears. I'm a grown woman and crying over here about a Santa Claus video. it was so incredible. Catherine, thank you for joining us on this very last minute on this show.
I'm happy to be here. It's almost Christmas. My kids are homesick. Welcome to life as a working mom.
I hear you. So what do you do outside of writing incredible stories?
I'm actually a full-time coach. I've been a coach for almost 10 years now. I work with really ambitious, successful, kick-ass, secretly very sensitive women all around the world. I'm their safe place. When you get to a certain point in your career, it gets very tricky to navigate. And so I am the refuge and their safe place. And they're all over the place. And I am here in Alberta, Canada, where I moved for true love. And so, yeah, so I get to talk to really interesting, smart women all day long about the most tricky parts of their lives. It's
so
fantastic.
Amazing. You have an incredible website. I'm going to link it up in the show notes. You guys check out her work. You're doing just incredible work out in the world. But I wanted to touch base with you about this story. You're doing this work. You're coaching women on high levels, busy. You're a mom yourself, wife, a lot going on. But for some reason, you decided to write this story about Santa Claus. Where did this come from?
Well, my husband and I got married a couple years ago, and we are a blended family, like so many families are now. And that meant that we had to help our kids reconcile these two different narratives about Christmas, right? They grew up in totally different countries, you know, with different family backgrounds. And it was tricky because some of them still believed 100% in the, you know, the Santa Claus story, mm-hmm. and some of them did not. And in fact, had never really believed in it quite in that way. And so we had to come up with a way that kind of worked for everybody, which meant a couple of years of, you know, sort of slightly awkward, like playing diplomat. And then there came a moment where there was a heartbreaking conversation. So this book came out of wanting to help these kids who I love so much navigate a moment that really felt devastating to them. And it was about trying to help them see the world in a way where there can still be room for magic, even if it's not the classic Santa Claus story.
I love that. What kind of response have you gotten from this?
I got mixed reviews from my kids. Some of them loved it. Some of them were like, Mom. some of them were kind of like skeptical and awkward at first, and then over time have come to be like, actually, Mom, can you write that story again?
Yeah.
But what's been interesting is I really did write this for my kids. You know, I write every week for my readers. I love them. I've been doing this for years. I'm very used to putting parts of my life and my heart out onto the internet, but this was different. This was like this little raw, tender, intimate, unpolished thing that I had made for my kids. And I had this urge to just put it out. And then I was like, no, I should wait. I'll hire a real illustrator. I'll get it published. We'll make a hard copy. Mm-hmm. And something inside me was like, just put it out there. It's probably Seth Godin whispering in my ear, just ship it. Right?
Love that man.
And so we set up a little camera and I read it and I just sent it out into the world. And I felt really squirmy about it in a way that surprised me because this is not my first rodeo, you know? And the response has been amazing. So for some people, the story itself really resonates, you know, like, oh my gosh, I was heartbroken when I found out that Santa Claus wasn't real, or my kids were heartbroken and I didn't know what to tell them. And for other people, it wasn't even about that. They said they really liked to see me put something into the world that clearly is not finished in the traditional sense. Mm. And yet it still resonated. And so that's been kind of a lesson for me as a creator, you know, someone who puts stuff out all the time, to go ahead and just let it be a little bit more raw.
We could have an entire episode just on that. That is so, so powerful. Well, I just want to acknowledge you and thank you so much for being so kind to share this beautiful, beautiful story with our listeners. I know it just really touched me because I think it goes, and what we said at the beginning of the episode is like, why in the world on the weekly parody are we talking about Santa Claus? I feel like your story wraps it all back around to what this show is all about. And so thank you for being so generous. Catherine's going to actually share part of this story with us.
Yeah. I'm going to read you a little excerpt. And I'm going to skip some of the beginning part and jump right into here. Perhaps you have recently heard that Santa Claus isn't a jolly man in a red suit who lives at the North Pole. You might think this means that there's no more magic in this world. But the truth is much more interesting. St. Nicholas didn't have magic. He was an opening for magic. In different times and places all around the world, for thousands of years, humans have told stories about a force of good that is larger than us all. You might call it love or magic or kindness. The words don't matter. It's the thing inside a flower that makes it poke up through the dirt, even when it's cold and rocky, and bloom itself wide open. It's the feeling inside you when you're brave enough to be kind to someone who's scared. It's the deepest, oldest magic of all. And that magic is always looking for an opening to come into the world. And St. Nicholas was one of those openings. But he was never supposed to be the only one. Even someone like St. Nicholas can't do it all alone. So you have a choice, a very important choice. Will you be an opening for magic like St. Nicholas? Will you be part of the secret group of people who bring more magic and love and kindness into the world? Will you join the secret society of St. Nicholas? And there's more, and you can watch the whole thing at thesecretsocietyofstnicholas.com.
I will have that linked up. Definitely check that out. Thank you so much, Catherine, for that beautiful, beautiful piece.
Well, I also think we could use more wonder and more joy and curiosity. So I don't want anyone to ever give up on their magic, especially your listeners, all those creative entrepreneurs out there.
Amen.
You take that real magic and you run with it.
I want to give a big thank you to those who participated in today's episode, Omar Prieto, Patty Lane from the Do You Know Who I Am podcast, Nicola Simple from the Good Life Well Lived podcast, Timothy LaSala, Shauna and Bridget Callahan, and Catherine North. You can connect with everyone by clicking all their links in the show notes. And I love you guys. Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.